This is Andy Shore from Washington, D.C. with the Pulmonary and Critical Care Literature Update. I'd like to point out an article in the November 6th issue of JAMA that deals with a crucial question for those of us who practice in ICUs in America, and that is crystalloid versus colloid. This is the crystal study that I'm referring to. The first author is Dijil Anand, who's been a leader in any number of critical care studies over the last decade. We have had a number of questions arise over the last year in terms of how we do fluid resuscitation, and not so much how we do it, but what we do it with. We have the original SAFE study from Australia looking at isotonic saline versus albumin, showing that essentially there's no difference in outcomes, although perhaps in the sepsis subpopulation there might be a benefit. We have subsequent studies like VSEP, which suggests that the use of starches, particularly HETSPAN, is associated with worse outcomes, particularly in terms of acute kidney injury. We have a recent Scandinavian trial suggesting that, again, HETSPAN-like agents are associated with worsening mortality. And then we have the CHEST study looking at starches in terms of crystalloid as well, showing, again, concerns. And so I think over the last couple of years, the crystalloid versus colloid debate has shifted into one of not crystalloid versus colloid, but which crystalloid versus which colloid, because on top of that, we have recent literature that suggests that perhaps too much chloride or a hyperchloremic resuscitation itself might be associated with worse outcomes. The crystal study leaps into that pool of literature that we now have to struggle with to help sort out this classic question that comes up literally every day on rounds. So I want to help you understand how this study is a little bit different. CRYSTAL is a large international randomized controlled trial over 50-some sites, and what it does is it looks at patients who present to the hospital with hypovolemic shock. Other studies have looked at patients that are all comers in the ICU, such as, say, CHEST and SAFE. Other studies have looked at only patients with sepsis, such as VSEP. So this takes a little bit more of a pragmatic approach, looking at patients who present to the hospital with hypovolemic shock. So once you say hypovolemic shock, that's not necessarily specific enough. And in this study, essentially, there are three kinds of shock. There's septic shock, there's traumatic shock, and then there's just other forms of hypovolemic shock. Only about 50% of the patients in CRYSTAL are septic shock. So again, looks at it from a more pragmatic standpoint, because you don't always know what the cause of the shock is, and there are often overlapping causes of shock when you first meet the patient. So in this trial that included nearly 2,900 patients done on multiple continents, patients were randomized to crystalloid, dealer's choice, you pick which crystalloid you want, versus colloid, you pick which colloid what you want, HETSPAN, HETSTARCH, gelatin, albumin, and we'll see what happens. So a very pragmatic approach. The primary endpoint for this study was 28-day mortality, but they looked out to 90 days, they looked at issues in terms of acute kidney injury, they also looked at the subgroup of patients with sepsis in this study, just to kind of get a flavor for outcomes. Overall, the mortality rate at 28 days was about 25%, which is what you'd expect, and about 70% of the population required mechanical ventilation while they were in the ICU. The vast majority of these patients were admitted from the ER and went to a medical ICU service. So good face validity in terms of studying the kind of problem. These patients were going where you expected them to go, and they're studying sick people who are clearly at risk of death. In the end, most patients got a HETSPAN kind of starch in the study. It's not much albumin exposure, so I think you have to understand that. When they looked at 28-day mortality, there was no difference in 28-day mortality between these two arms. However, the Kaplan-Meier survival curves, clearly in the figure in the paper, separate by about day 10 and stay separated. They just don't reach statistical significance by day 28. Strikingly, by day 90, there is a separation in these curves reaching statistical significance, actually favoring the colloid. That's surprising. No one would have predicted that. And it actually confuses all this essentially negative colloid literature that's been generated over the last couple years. Now, I don't want anyone to draw a conclusion from this that colloids are superior to crystalloids. The study's primary endpoint was 28-day mortality. It showed non-inferiority or equivalence. And 90-day mortality can be confounded by any number of things. And what you see is that the change in mortality is really a plateauing of the colloid mortality and a continued escalation after 28 days in the crystalloid mortality, so it's unclear what might be driving this. But it's certainly thought-provoking, and there's certainly no difference in acute kidney injury or need for renal replacement therapy between the two arms. When they looked at the subgroup of patients who had sepsis, crystalloid versus colloid, no difference. when they did a whole series of subgroup analyses, and again, these are all fraught with population sample size issues and all fraught with baseline imbalances, they saw no difference comparing one crystalloid to one specific kind of colloid. So for example, LR versus PET SPAM, isotonic saline versus albumin. Again, these numbers get very small, they don't really see a difference. And so I think the take-home message from this is, from a pragmatic standpoint, this study suggests no difference in the primary outcome between crystalloid versus colloid. And that actually, I think, is a consistent theme that we've seen overall in terms of generally 28-day mortality in all-comer populations. What's unique is that in the subgroup of sepsis patients here, which requires much more clarification, and I'm sure the authors are working upon that paper as we speak, again, no difference. What do we do with this information? Again, I think we still generally favor our approach to crystalloids because they're clearly much less expensive. But I think we have to be more open-minded in terms of what we're seeing. And in the real world, I don't think anybody who uses colloid, at least from a U.S. perspective, only uses colloid. And so in some sense, these trials are an artifact. We mix and match crystalloid and colloid. So these trials don't reflect that. But crystalloid remains preferred. The question about hyperchloremia and bad outcomes, particularly in patients with septic shock, is an unanswered question and I think a concern we need to be worried about. So this question, again, is going to continue to be studied and it's going to continue to cause controversy because I don't think we're ever going to have the perfect study to answer it, but it's always going to come down to weighing risks and benefits in the setting of cost. Again, the article is Crystal by Anand and colleagues in the November 6th issue of JAMA. This is Andy Shore from Washington, D.C.